ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 21, conversation between Manu, Swayambhuva Manu, and Kardama Muni, text number 12. Jata Harshaha Apatat Mudna Shittau Labdha Manaha रतः गीर्भिः तु अभ्याघ्रिन्नात् प्रीति स्वभाव आत्मा चित्तञ्जलिः जातहर्षोपतन्मूर्ध्ना चित्तालब्धमनोरथः गीर्भिस्त्वव्यघ्रिणात् प्रीति स्वभावात्मा कृताञ्जलिः जातहर्षोपतन्मूर्ध्ना चित्तालब्धमनोरथः गीर्भिस्त्वव्यघ्रिणात् प्रीति भावात्मा कृताञ्जलिः जातहर्षोपतन्मूर्ध्ना चित्तालब्धमनोरथः गीर्भिस्त्वव्यघ्रिणात्प्रीति भावात्मा कृताञ्जलिः। Jataharshah.
Naturally jubilant.
Apatat.
He fell down.
Doesn't mean spiritually, he fell down on the ground. Huh?
Murtna.
With his head.
Shittau.
On the ground.
Labdha.
Having been achieved.
Manaharataha.
His desire.
Girbihi.
With prayers.
To.
And.
Abhyagrinat.
He satisfied.
Priti svabhava atma.
Whose heart is by nature always full of love.
Pritta Anjalihi,
with folded hands.
Translation.
When Kardama Muni actually realized the Supreme Personality of Godhead in person, he was greatly satisfied because his transcendental desire was fulfilled. He fell on the ground with his head, bowed to offer obeisances unto the lotus feet of the Lord. His heart naturally full of love of God, with folded hands he satisfied the Lord with prayers. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The realization of the personal form of the Lord is the highest perfectional stage of yoga. In the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where yoga practice is described, this realization of the personal form of the Lord is called the perfection of yoga. After practicing the sitting postures and other regulative principles of the system, one finally reaches the stage of samadhi, absorption in the Supreme. In the samadhi stage, one can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his partial form as Paramatma or as he is. Samadhi is described in the authoritative yoga scriptures such as the Patanjali Sutras to be a transcendental pleasure. Yoga system described in the books of Patanjali is authoritative. And the modern so-called yogis who have manufactured their own ways, not consulting with the authorities, are simply ludicrous. The Patanjali yoga system is called Ashtanga yoga. Sometimes impersonalists pollute this Patanjali yoga system because they are monists. Patanjali describes that the soul is transcendentally pleased when he meets the super soul and he sees him. If the existence of the super soul and the individual is admitted, then the impersonalist theory of monism is nullified. Therefore, some impersonalists and void philosophers twist the Patanjali system in their own way and pollute the whole yoga process. According to Patanjali, when one becomes free from all material desires, he attains his real transcendental situation, and realization of that stage is called spiritual power. In material activities, a person engages in the modes of material nature. The aspirations of such people are: 1. To be religious, 2. to be economically enriched. 3, to be able to gratify the senses. And at last, 4, to become one with the Supreme. According to the monist, when a yogi becomes one with the Supreme and loses his individual existence, he attains the highest stage called Kaivalya. But actually, the stage of realization of the personality of Godhead is Kaivalya. The oneness of understanding that the Supreme Lord is fully spiritual, and that in full spiritual realization, one can understand what He is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is called Kaivalya. Or, in the language of Patanjali, realization of spiritual power. His proposal is that when one is freed from material desires and fixed in the spiritual realization of the self and the super self, that is called chit shakti. In full spiritual realization, there is a perception of spiritual happiness, and that happiness is described in the Bhagavad Gita as the supreme happiness, which is beyond the material senses. Trance is described to be of two kinds, samprishnata and asamprishnata, or mental speculation and self-realization. In samadhi or asamprishnata, one can realize by his spiritual senses the spiritual form of the Lord. That is the ultimate goal of spiritual realization. According to Patanjali, when one is fixed in constant realization of the supreme form of the Lord, one has attained the perfectional stage as attained by Kardama Muni. Unless one attains the stage of perfection, beyond the perfection of the preliminaries of the yoga system, there is no ultimate realization. There are 8 perfections in the Ashtanga yoga system. One who has attained them can become lighter than the lightest and greater than the greatest, and he can achieve whatever he likes. But even achieving such material success in yoga is not the perfection or the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is described here. Kardama Muni saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His eternal form. Devotional service begins with the relationship of the individual soul and the Supreme Soul, or Krishna and Krishna's devotees, and when one attains it, there is no question of falling down. If through the yoga system one wants to attain the stage of seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, but is attracted instead to attaining of some material power, then he is detoured from proceeding further. Material enjoyment, as encouraged by the bogus yogis, has nothing to do with the transcendental realization of spiritual happiness. Real devotees of bhakti yoga accept only the material necessities of life absolutely needed to maintain the body and soul together. They refrain completely from all exaggerated material sense gratification. They are prepared to undergo all kinds of tribulation, provided they can make progress in the realization of the personality of Godhead. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani Namaste Sarasate Deve Gaura Bani Pucharane Nivishesha Sunya Vari Paschacha Deve Sukharane ஓமா ஜானம் திமரம் தஸ்யத நந்தன சுலகாய சக்ஷூரி மிலித்தும் ஜெயினம் தாய்ஸ்மாய் ஸ்ரீ குரவே நமஹ பஞ்சகல்பத்ருபியஸ்ய கிருபசிந்துபியோ பசபதித்தனம் பாவதேவியோ வைஷ்ணவேவியோ நமோ நமஹ. So here we see Prabhupada is again doing the necessary work of clearing up all the garbage that has been put upon Vedic ideas by the Mayavadis. He mentions several times how they have polluted or contaminated the true yoga system as described by Patanjali. This is because we see here that Kardama Muni was practicing. He's described in the previous verses he was practicing what's called Kriya Yoga. And Prabhupada mentions in the Nectar of Devotion, he says that Kriya Yoga is a system of practice much like practical devotional service, but it is especially meant for the mystic yogis. So mystic, by mystic yogi, Prabhupada means one who is following the Patanjali system, but they are mystic bhakti yogis, in that their aim of realization is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they realize this. As he says here, either in his partial form as Paramatma, or as he is. We have to distinguish. The absolute truth has been disclosed to those who are tatvadarshi, those who know this truth, as having three aspects. Bhagavan, Paramatma, and Brahman. So this Brahman is the spiritual life that is all-pervading, spiritual life. Some people, they see this light, they become absorbed in it, they feel it inside and outside and everywhere. Oh, this is it. This is what I've been looking for. But beyond that light, there is Paramatma, the super soul. It's called a partial feature. Krishna says, Eka Amshena Stito Jagat, with a little piece of myself, Eka Amsha, I maintain this whole universe. So Paramatma means the Lord insofar as he is dealing with the material energy. And of course with the jivas who are in the material energy. This is Paramatma. Bhagavan means the Lord as he is connected with his internal potencies in the spiritual world. So you notice that Paramatma, every time you see some depiction of Paramatma, he is by himself. You don't see his potencies, because he's dealing with the external potency, and that external potency is Durga, Maya Devi, and the Lord is never intimate with her. Or when he is, then he's Lord Shiva. He has a different aspect. So with Paramatma, he's just by himself. But then when we talk about Bhagavan, then he is with Lakshmi, Narayan, or Sita, Ram, Radha, Krishna. He's with his internal potencies with which he is intimate. So this is Bhagavan. As he is, full understanding, full perception. Prabhupada uses the word realize in this verse. When Kardama Muni actually realized the Supreme Personality of Godhead, realized means by his own direct experience. This word, and Prabhupada uses this word to translate the Sanskrit word vijnana. It's jnana vijnana. Jnana means book knowledge. You have studied in the pages of Shastra. You understand it in the theoretical way. But vijnana means direct perception. The other translation of the word vijnana is science. Because science means, has to do with this direct perception. Material science is simply material because they do not have the means to perceive any other reality. So their experience is limited to a small part of the material energy. Even all the material energy, they cannot understand. Because earth, water, fire, air, ether, manas, buddhi, ahankara, these are the material energies, so they know maybe earth, water, fire, air, ether a little bit, but manas, buddhi, ahankara, they cannot study this. But then beyond that, there's the spiritual energy, there's the jivas, there's the source of both of them, there's the whole spiritual world. All this reality they are not able to perceive because you have to follow the right method. If I want to study the stars, it will not do to look in a microscope. You have to use the right technology. So here we have the spiritual technology. It's also science. You follow this process and you will have this experience. So this is stated over and over again. So Kardama Muni had that experience. The result was Jata Harta. He was filled with happiness. Because he now saw the Lord. And Apatat Murtna Shital. He fell down with his head on the ground. Like Dandavats. Like this. Labdha Manoratha. Manoratha means the desire of his mind. Usually that's a bad word. Manoratha. Being carried this different ways by the mind. But when the mind becomes fixed on the Lord, then Manoratha is very good. It'll take you to Krishna. So desire is not the problem. The trouble is we desire the wrong things. But when the desire is transferred to Krishna, then that desire is very good. One has to actually want Krishna. To see Krishna, you have to want Krishna very badly. More than we want anything else. For we have desires for things in this material world, then we cannot want Krishna enough. So this is called Vyavasa Atmika Buddhi. Krishna has described that if you want to be successful in the spiritual path, this Vyavasa Atmika Buddhi is required. We cannot want many things. If you want many things, then you're Bahu Shaka, your buddhi has many branches. So to be successful in Krishna consciousness, we have only one thing, one pointed with our buddhi. Then we'll be successful. So we have to understand this. Krishna tells right from the very beginning what is necessary. In this world today, many people they practice religion, but that's one thing among many things for them. This is their life, you know. They have their work and their job, and they have their family, and they have their society, and they have their sports and hobbies, and also they have their religion. And 2 hours a week, maybe, this is a religion. It's one thing that's part of their life. Like something added on, like another hobby. If this is the way we are, then we will not attain Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness, the one thing I have to desire is spiritual advancement. That doesn't mean I cannot do other things. There also may be job, family, and all those things. But I do those in such a way that they support and maintain the main thing. Then I can be successful. So this is required. This desire has to be one. So his desire was fulfilled, and immediately he fell on the ground. Swabhavatma, swabhavatma, priti swabhavatma. His whole soul became just filled with love. Priti means love, with love for Krishna. Then he's offering prayers, so presumably he stands up again, because of Kritanjali, he makes like Anjali like this. And now in the next verses we will hear his prayers coming out of the spontaneous feeling of his heart. Because he has seen the Lord face to face. Prabhupada said like that, we should see Krishna just like you are seeing me and I am seeing you. This is direct perception. Material vision cannot see. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santasadaiva hridayesu valokayanti. Those people see, they have some treatment for the eyes. Premanjana. Anjana means like the ointment in the eyes. But this is that when that prema is put on the eyes, when the eye of the soul is opened and can see Krishna. Our senses are originally spiritual. Our senses are meant for seeing Krishna. Our speech is meant for glorifying Krishna. Our ears are meant for hearing Krishna glorified, hearing the sound of Krishna. We are made everywhere for satisfying Krishna's senses. But when we take those senses, and we engage them instead in sense gratification, they become incapacitated. Atasi Krishna namadi nabade grayam indriyai. For that reason, our senses cannot perceive Krishna's namadi, means his name, his form, his qualities, and his pastimes. If with a material senses and material mind we somehow or other look into transcendence, we will not see anything except maybe some white light. We cannot go there with our mind, our material mind, our material perception, our material words. Therefore, that is why I said here, asamprajnata. The mental structure of a material mind is not there anymore. Asamprajnata is direct perception. Otherwise, so we cannot bring our material ideas to Krishna. We will not go there. Atasi Krishna namadi nabhade grayam indriyai. And if you just leave it at that, then you're a Mayavadi. You say we cannot see transcendence. But Sevan mukhe jivado swayam evas puratyada. When, however, those senses are sevan mukhe, they are directed toward the service of Krishna, then they regain their capacity. The original capacity of the senses is restored. So we cannot, if people say, I cannot see God, well, where's your qualification? You cannot see with material senses. The senses have to become purified. Then God comes into view. We can see things as they actually are. This is a requirement. So by the various processes of yoga, Krishna is to be known. So here in this text, Prabhupada is talking about the Patanjali Yoga Sutra. If you hear about yoga from most people, you will get some Mayavadi idea, some misinterpretation. Even though in the Patanjali Yoga system, Ishvara is there. Even at the very beginning, The beginning begins, Patanjali begins Yama and Niyama. Now, at least in America, in the West, when people practice yoga, they skip Yama, Niyama, go to asana. But because Yama means like brahmacharya. Oh, we can't have that. Ahimsa, satyam, asteyam, brahmacharya, aparigraha, these things are there. So brahmacharya is yama. And niyama, among niyama, pranidhana. Ishwara pranidhana. Worship of the Lord, surrender to the Lord. And worship of the Lord. That's right there from the very beginning. Everybody skips, goes on. And then when he is describing the samadhi, it is not impersonal. There is spiritual feeling. Feeling means there's a feeler. A person. Means there's a relationship. There is two. So there's a relationship with the Lord, with the Paramatma, with the Supreme Lord. Because this transcendental bliss is there. So we should understand these things clearly. There's so much confusion about the meaning of what the Vedas are teaching. What is the yoga system? And to clear all this up, Krishna has given us the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is there. If you look at the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna conducts a survey of all different Vedic processes of spiritual realization. If you look at it, you see he goes through almost everything. Just as in the sixth chapter, he's dealing with yoga. He tells the general rules of yoga. And what is the conclusion? That if you become a perfect yogi, you become the best yogi. What do? You worship Krishna, you become Krishna's devotee. That is the yoga, uttatam, who is most intimately united with me in yoga. It is the highest yogi, the one who is worshipping me in love and devotion. This is Krishna's verdict. What is the success in yoga? So in this, in all different ideas, you will find Krishna has conducted the survey. He says in the Bhagavad Gita, why, if you want to know what is the Vedas say, because the confusion is that the Vedas is a kalpa vriksha. So there are many different, whatever you want you can get. Prabhupada mentions four things here. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. You can get all that from the Vedas. And so typically people want different things, so they go for different things. Yet everybody understands, in spite of all this diversity, that diversity is there because people are different. And not everybody's on the same platform. So something has to be there to engage everybody on some level or another. So there's much diversity, but at the same time, everybody understands that in spite of that, there's a single harmonious conclusion of the Vedas, the Siddhanta. Somehow everything in the Vedas comes to a single conclusive truth that harmonizes everything. So what is that truth? Well, as you discover, the experts disagree. Nasabrisi yatta manam tabi. You cannot be a muni. You cannot be a rishi unless you have a different opinion. This is always the case. You go to experts, and the experts will all disagree. We see this in the court cases in America all the time. There's some lawsuit or something. Some criminal trial, and rests on some technical evidence, the nature of DNA or something like that. And so the defense They put on the expert witness. This is Professor so-and-so. This is his field of expertise. He has so many publications. He has written so many textbooks. He belongs to so many professional societies. He has credentials up to here. And he says this. So he gives his testimony. Here's a jury, 12 ordinary people. They don't know anything. And so the expert with 3 PhDs, he gives his opinion. It is like this. Then the defense, they bring their, the other side brings their expert. Another one. He's got credentials up to here. So many publications. And he says just the opposite. So what's the jury to do? Who's right? We're not experts. Who do we believe? Because this is the nature of experts. You always disagree. Look at our Bhaktivedanta Institute. Everybody disagrees. Well, this is said, Maharaj Yudhisthira, Yasav Rishi Yatamatam Madinam. You cannot be a Rishi unless you have your own opinion. So what about the Vedas? All the different Rishis, they disagree. What is the Siddhanta? That's why Krishna has spoken this Bhagavad Gita. He's the expert. Of all experts, right? So he says, Vedaishtu sarva aham eva vedyaha. All the Vedas are meant for knowing me. That's a very simple. I don't know why people cannot understand this. You know, the Sanskrit. I took a college course in Sanskrit. At the end of 1 year, you can read the Bhagavad Gita. It's almost written for children. You compare Bhagavad Gita with Srimad Bhagavatam or the Upanishads. They're very difficult. But the Bhagavad Gita is very easy. Vedaishtu sarva aham eva vedyaha. All the Vedas are just searching after me. And who's saying this? Well, Vedavit Vedanta Krit, Krishna says. The one who made the Vedanta Sutra, Vedanta Krit, as Vyasadeva, he compiled the Vedanta Sutras. And Vedavit, who knows the Vedas? So there it is. Huh? It should be the end of all controversy. It's very simple to understand. So why do people still not understand? Hard to know. People are still making impersonal interpretations. Anyway, Krishna shows one after another, all these different, whatever you are doing, it will come to Krishna if you are following any Vedic path. You come to the conclusion. For example, you are practicing Jnana Yoga. You meet many people, they are saying, oh, I am practicing Jnana Yoga. And they have some impersonal idea. Well, what does Krishna say about jnana? Bahunam janmanam amte. Jnanavan mam prapajyate. You are really, you have jnana? You're jnanavan? Then what do? Mam prapajyate. He surrenders to me. Are you a jnani and you're not surrendered to Krishna? Nah. Krishna says if you actually have jnana, you actually understand what is what, then mam prapajyate. Vasudeva sarvamiti. He says, Vasudeva Krishna is everything. Sa mahatma sudurlabha. But this kind of mahatma you will not find on every street corner. This is a rare, special mahatma that you understand this. So, and then Krishna clears all this up. So he says, if you Ganavan, you surrender to me. If you don't surrender to Krishna, say you surrendered, well, okay, I surrender, but not to Krishna, I'll surrender to Anya Devata, some other Devas. Then Krishna says, no, you are Prityagyan. You have Prapadyante Anya Devata, those who have surrendered to other divinities, they are Prityagyan. They don't have jnana. It's very clear, huh? He talks about who has jnana, surrenders to him. Who surrenders to somebody else? Is Rita jnana. Now I took Bhagavad Gita courses with various swamis in places like that, and they said, doesn't matter who you surrender to, you all go to the same place. But can't they understand the simple, you know, 8th grade Sanskrit? Krishna says if you surrender to Anya Devata, Vrittagyan, you're stupid. If you have knowledge, you surrender to Krishna. If you surrender to other gods, then you are stupid, Vrittagyan. He uses this word stupid a lot, huh? Alpamedism. Another way of saying stupid. Or if avyaktam vyaktam apanam manyante mam abuddhaya, another kind of abuddhaya, stupid person. I'm sorry, this is Krishna's language. I'm just repeating. I don't want to offend anybody, but Krishna says these words, puttagyana, alpamedasa, abuddhaya. If you think that first of all I was avyakta, impersonal, and then I became a person later on, or somehow achieved this, then you are a Buddha, you are a stupid. This Krishna's verdict about this, and that opinion is there. I read a book once by a big swami that they came to America, an impersonalist swami, and he claims in his book that he saw Krishna. And this is what he described. He saw a glowing blue cloud, like a cloud of gas, blue and glowing. And then somehow that cloud got thickened, and then Krishna precipitated out with his hat, two hands holding a flute. And he was there and he smiled and moved his eyebrows at this yogi. And then again, he dissolved back into the blue cloud. He says like that. What Krishna says about this gentleman is abuddhaya. So people are saying sometimes that this is Hinduism. You know, it doesn't matter who you worship, it all comes to the same place. If that's Hinduism, then we have to say Krishna is not a Hindu. So people have misunderstood this in so many different ways. So it's very confusing. The experts have different opinions. And when Kali Yuga is about to begin, Krishna also realized that basically everybody will become stupid. Bhagavatam states that in Kali Yuga, that what happens is that, or Prabhupada describes it, that the power of foodstuff decreases. The nourishing power of fruits and vegetables decreases in Kali Yuga, so that basically we are all brain damaged. We're all not as intelligent as people in the previous yugas. That's when, like when we look at Bhagavatam, it is hard for people to understand, because it was written by people who are more intelligent than we are. Much more intelligent than we are. We can't understand it and we say, oh, it's some mythology or something like that. Because sometimes when things are on a much higher level than us and we can't understand it, we think it's on some lower level. But because we think we're so special, we're so smart. But this is actually a very high level. So Krishna realizes that this will be hard for us to understand the Vedas. And so therefore, he speaks this Bhagavad Gita. And in just 500 verses, in very simple Sanskrit, he explains what is the purport of the Vedas. And he discusses all these different, he discusses Jnana Yoga, he discusses Ashtanga Yoga, he discusses Karma Yoga, he discusses sacrifice, what is the meaning of sacrifice. He discusses worship of the Devatas. All the different Vedic paths have been discussed. And Krishna shows that if you follow it out all the way, if you understand it deeply, you can see that it will come to Krishna. to all the different dharma paths in the Vedas, it comes to Krishna. That's why he can conclude, sarva dharman puritjaja mam ekam saranam vaja. He has prepared us for this conclusive statement. If all these different dharma, they take you to Krishna, make a quick work of it. Sarva dharman puritjaja, forget about it, mam ekam saranam vaja. You can come to me. Saranam Braja. Come to me exclusively. Mam ekam. Me and me alone. So this way he has explained it. He has cleared away all these things. He has said it very clear. Huh? But still people can't understand because they do not like this conclusion. Because people, in the material world, people, we are all here because we have competitors with God. We are here to start our own God projects. We are here not to surrender to Krishna. And even if we get involved in spiritual life somehow, oh, I become God this way. I failed to become God that way. Now I've become God another way. So we have to get over this mistake. We have to surrender to Krishna. And if people don't want to, they have a hostile to Krishna, then they read the Bhagavad Gita, they want to change everything. Srila Prabhupada, in the early days of the movement, his translation of the Bhagavad Gita was not available. And so he would use the translation by Dr. Radhakrishnan. And the translation, the book that Prabhupada had, had also Dr. Radhakrishnan's commentary, his purport. And there's a famous occasion where Prabhupada was reading this verse, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyayimam Namaskaru. And Krishna is saying, surrender to me, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto, always think of me. So many times the personal pronoun is there, mam, mam, mam. Me, me, me. Manmana, bhava mad bhakto, madhyayi, mam namaskaru. And Dr. Radhakrishnan says, is the purport, it is not to Krishna the person we must surrender. Krishna says, surrender to me. And in the purport, he says, don't surrender to Krishna. So Prabhupada would give class, he would read the verse and the translation and then preach against the purport. Because he had, didn't want to surrender to Krishna, so somehow or other people will find some way to avoid this and cover it over. So there's some motive there for not surrendering to Krishna. Yeah. So here we see, here's an example, Kardama Muni, who has practiced yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, Kriya Yoga also. Kriya Yoga also means, just like when Narada Muni instructed Dhruva Maharaj, he was practicing yoga, but also he made a deity and was doing deity worship also. This is also part of this Kriya Yoga. Sometimes it's described as deity worship. And so he was practicing like this, and then he had this direct vision of the Supreme. So of course our process right now, this Ashtanga Yoga, is actually to do correctly. It is not possible. We have the process of cultivating the holy names given to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is also a yoga, a spiritual discipline, by which if we follow it precisely, we will also see Krishna face to face. Because the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, if we chant it while trying to give up offenses, it will cleanse the dirty things, all the things that cloud our vision, that have perverted our perception, and then also Krishna comes into view. That is the goal. Direct perception of the Supreme. Paresh Anubhava. It says that when one practices correctly devotional service, three things will happen. Devotion will increase, bhakti. Paresh Anubhava, direct experience of the Supreme. And virakti anyatra. And one will become detached from everything else. Just like when you eat, three things happen.
Pusti pusti shutapaya. You're satisfied, you're nourished, and your hunger goes away. Just in the process of eating, these things occur. So similarly, by practicing bhakti yoga, we should see that I'm becoming less attached to matter, more attached to Krishna. Krishna should be coming into view. Maybe not immediately, but just like in the morning, the sun may be below the horizon, but I know the sun is coming because the sky is getting brighter and brighter. I should have this experience at least. So we can practice like this, and we should see. If these things are not happening, then I'm doing something wrong. I should go to somebody and say, I'm doing this, but this is not happening. What am I doing wrong? And because it's a science, we can tell. This is the process. Okay, any questions? Thank you. Or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
So do you think that by that much of having Prabhu with us, we can also see Krishna face to face? That means that there are other processes by following which we can see Krishna. So why do you want to go for that much of it? You said it also.
Yeah.
So yeah. That is other.
Because if you follow this Ashtanga Yoga and you do it properly, you will come to this. But that what it really means is that when the Ashtanga Yoga is fully developed, it turns into bhakti anyway. If you perform sacrifice and you actually understand the meaning of sacrifice, you will also see Krishna because that will turn into bhakti. So all different yoga processes, in the end, when they become mature and yield their fruit, they turn into bhakti. That's what I mean. So that's why Krishna says you can take directly to bhakti. You can give up all this other stuff and you can come directly to devotional service. Okay? Yes, and there's a lady in the back there. Next.
You mentioned about the point about the jury and was going to talk about how we have experts.
I'm sorry? Yeah, different experts say different, huh?
But we see this also happening in the Vedanta world. We see on many critical issues that devotees have different opinions. So, as a member of common people like us, what are you supposed to do? Are we just supposed to have an open mind, listen to our own common opinion of our own, or continue to read from us? How do we handle these situations where there are different opinions and different
issues? It depends on what the disagreement is. On fundamentals, there should be no disagreement. Sometimes people get it wrong. And therefore, if it looks like the fundamental is wrong, Prabhupada says chant 16 rounds a day, somebody says you only have to chant 8. Prabhupada says you should chant out loud, somebody is saying, well, actually, it's best to chant in your mind. Then we can say this disagrees with Srila Prabhupada. So there we have our standard with Srila Prabhupada. And if people are arguing about what Prabhupada says, then we have our authorities. Prabhupada organized our society and he set it up in such a way that certain people, if there's some controversy, it goes to the final authority, which is the governing body commission, and we have to accept that decision. Sometimes there's a disagreement that's transcendental. It's not about ultimate issues, but it's about practical application. Someone says we should serve Krishna like this, we should practice or preach Krishna consciousness in this way, or we should preach Krishna consciousness in that way. This is called transcendental disagreement. How do we serve Krishna? The fundamentals are there, but the practical application, how to do it in this time, in this place, then there will be difference of opinion. There's no problem in that. There's even difference of opinion like that in the spiritual world. Let's serve Krishna like this, no, let's serve Krishna like that. But the common ground is we are trying to serve Krishna. So, on those differences of opinion, we have to come to some cooperative agreement how to serve Krishna. Because the main principle is Prabhupada wanted that we should cooperate together. So sometimes I will not get my way. Because the main principle is that we cooperate. And we have tried to set some system by which we can resolve these differences. So in this matter, we should come to some final decision about these matters. But of course, those practical applications, they can change over time. We've been doing something some way for 10 years, circumstances have changed, now maybe we have to change like that. That can change. But the fundamental principles, they don't change. Okay? Yes, in the back?
Worshipping
the Lord? No, it's like bhakti yoga. In the very beginning we worship the Lord, and at the end we worship the Lord too. So in the niyama, from the very beginning you'll worship the deity in the temple. Why are we worshipping the Lord like this? Why we cannot see spirit in the beginning? Because our vision is contaminated, we can only see wood or stone or metal. So Krishna says, you're a rascal, you cannot see me. You can only see matter, wood or stone. So, just to be kind to you, I will appear as wood, as stone. So now you can see me, even with your material vision. So we have to accept, here is Krishna. He's not material. He's appearing like that, but he's not. He's spiritual. He can change matter to spirit and spirit to matter back and forth. No problem for him. He wants to appear this way before me so I can see him in a preliminary way. So from the very beginning, we are seeing Krishna. Somebody asked Prabhupada, have you seen Krishna? And Prabhupada said, yes, so have you. There he is. Prabhupada did not actually see any difference. But when one is fully spiritually advanced, then you can see spirit also. But actually the experience is the same. When we are fully spiritually advanced, you'll come before Radha Rasa Bihari, and the same thing. Tears will come from the eyes, hair will stand on him. There's no difference. So this worship of the Lord is there in the beginning. It's the means, and it's also the end. It's the goal. Means and end are the same. So the same with the yoga system. Like that. Okay. It's time to stop now. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.